mind-altering practices, unquestioning commitment to the group, cult of personality, preoccupation with bringing in new members, shifting alliances in exchange for power. These are the guidelines of a cult. What if we told you that this dangerous cult has its base in Paris, France?
By some luck, or maybe some unluck performance, we found that there was an organization in France, and this organization used to have some people, some member, that decided to burn themselves. So we tried to know why they decided to burn themselves in the middle of the street in Paris, in a day of July in 2003.
Pourquoi un tel mouvement est en France, en fait? Pourquoi un mouvement qui a un passé terroriste comme celui-là, comment ça se fait que la population française soit pas au courant?
The following story is so hard to believe that it could be the perfect script for a fiction film. Unfortunately, it is a true story. While France is recovering from the latest assaults in Paris and the world is focused on stamping out what has been called Islamic fundamentalism, an Iranian organization that has featured among some countries' lists of terrorist groups is being protected in a small town only 30 kilometers from Paris, in Auvers-sur-Oise.
And we found that MEC organization was a special organization, really special, because it was a cult. And it was an organization fighting, at their saying, for peace, fighting for right of their members and fighting for Iranian people. But when we saw what we saw, this picture of burning people in the street, those picture and stories of people living all those years in the MEC organization, we knew that it wasn't a normal organization.
The Mujahideen Khal organization, usually abbreviated to MEK or MKO, started in 1965 as an underground political party opposed to the Shah of Iran. The MEK organization murdered several of the Shah's US security advisors prior to the Islamic Revolution, and the group actually helped to guard the US embassy after Islamic students seized it in 1979. The enemies of the Shah worked together uneasily for a time, but their cooperation was short-lived. Very soon after the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Massoud Rajavi, the leader of the MEK organization, left for Auvers-sur-Oise in France. There, Massoud Rajavi created the so-called National Council of Resistance of Iran, the NCRI. Some years later, Massoud would marry another MEK member called Mariam, who decided to divorce her own husband and marry the ideological leader before a gathering of MEK members in Paris. She then became the president-elect of the NCRI, which she claims until today to be the only valid political opposition to the Islamic Republic of Iran.
In general, when people have problem, political problem with their country, and they are trying to find a solution or maybe trying to escape a special situation in their country, France accept those kind of people. And I think MEC organization and Rajavi, first of all, saw that it was this possibility for them to enter in a country which will not prevent them from their liberties.
In 1986, Paris regularized its relations with Tehran, and Massoud Rajavi was asked to leave France. He went to Iraq, Iran's eternal enemy at the time, where he created the so-called National Liberation Army and conducted several cross-border forays into Iran. They were called the Private Army of Saddam Hussein during the Iraq-Iran War. And that is why they are regarded by most Iranians as traitors and hypocrites, hence the name Monefegin. They were based in Camp Ashraf, which is situated in Iraq, about 80 kilometers west of the Iran border and 40 kilometers north of Baghdad. Since then, the MEK organization has conducted terrorist attacks against the interests of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they have been said to be responsible for the deaths of over 10,000 Iranian citizens, including many children. In Paris, Enver and Françoise, two young activists from an anti-cult organization, know this group quite well and have been confronted by them on several occasions.
When you go in the city of Auvers-sur-Oise and you ask about the MEK organization, there is no answer. But some people indicate you that their group and their house is at the end of the city. So when you decide to go in the city near MEK organization house, you see that they are not normal and they are maybe more dangerous than we think. For example, here it is the house, and here it is a little box. This box is the security guard. There is a very, very long street in front of this house. You have the house of MEK organization, and there is nobody here. You don't see people go inside, go outside. The guy here is here to check if you are normal or if you are not normal. I mean by normal, if you are friend of MEK, you can come in. If you are not friend of MEK, they see you as a potential enemy. So they are with their talkie-walkie. I don't know if they have weapon, but it's like in France we call the Mirador. There is this place with the security guard, and just behind there is a lot of possibilities to hide something.
Alors, on a fait une première action à Auvers-sur-Oise, en fait, en janvier de l'année dernière. Donc, on y est allé avec plusieurs de nos militants et ça s'est pas très, très bien passé dans le sens où nous, on venait pacifiquement pour informer donc les habitants d'Auvers-sur-Oise, pour leur demander est-ce qu'ils étaient au courant, en fait, de l'historique de ce mouvement. Est-ce qu'ils sont au courant que parmi eux, il y a des gens comme ça qui vivent avec eux.
It was very strange to be in this city, a French city, and it was like you cannot ask about this organization. You cannot you can't even go inside the city if you are not from the city.
À ces membres qui n'ont pas le droit donc de vivre normalement en toute liberté, qui n'ont pas le droit de s'exprimer, qui n'ont pas le droit de voir leur famille, qui ont perdu beaucoup de membres de leur famille. Nous ne faisons pas de la politique, nous voulons simplement dénoncer un état de fait.
Les gens qui étaient sur place, ils n'avaient pas forcément l'air d'être au courant, ou alors je pense qu'ils ne prennent pas vraiment conscience de la chose, en fait. Et on avait quand même rencontré un monsieur sur place qui, effectivement, avait demandé au maire, c'est vrai, ces gens-là, qu'est-ce qu'ils font ici? On les voit comme ça, on ne sait pas qui ils sont, qu'est-ce qu'ils font ici? Et le maire, il avait pas su répondre. De toute façon, quand il est venu à notre rencontre, il nous a tout de suite catégorisé, catalogué. Oui, bon, vous, voilà, vous êtes des collabos, enfin, des gens qui collaborent avec le régime iranien.
Nous avons dénoncé donc la présence de l'organisation MPI en France, plus particulièrement Auvers-sur-Oise.
Ah, vous êtes en lien avec le régime iranien?
Iranien, pas du tout.
Ah, bah. Voilà, comme vous voilà, monsieur.
Pourquoi c'est encore,
pourquoi c'est encore qu'il retranché
quand on passe sur les rives,
parce qu'ils sont dans le régime iranien.
Mais non, mais... Bien. Ok. Mais non, mais
on passe là-bas, c'est un bouquet des boules.
et on a été très très mal accueillis, dans le sens où ils sont arrivés très très rapidement en fait. Ils ont été prévenus, je pense, par des habitants qui sont sympathisants de leur cause, donc ils les ont prévenus et ils sont arrivés très très vite, en masse. Ils étaient quand même, dans mes souvenirs, ils étaient quand même un peu plus d'une dizaine, je pense. Ils sont arrivés en voiture, d'autres sont arrivés à pied. Et ils nous ont agressés, on s'est fait arracher nos pancartes, on s'est fait molester, bousculer, insulter. C'était assez violent en fait.
Mais c'est qui ? Ils provoquent, mais vous provoquez, vous ne vous rendez pas compte, la provocation que vous faites.
Mais comment ça, on ne provoque pas, rien, on ne fait que défiler, oui, on ne fait que dénoncer,
Nous reviendrons.
Merci à tous pour les ouvertoires, bonne journée. Désolé donc pour le groupe, nous voulions simplement vous informer. Il est important de savoir ce qu'il y a sur votre ville et en Ile-de-France, et en France particulièrement. Bon courage à vous, bonne journée. Chacun est libre de ses idées. Nous sommes en démocratie. Vive la France.
Eventually, the French police came and guided this group of young people fighting for peace to the station so that they could leave Auvers-sur-Oise safely. Even on the train, MEK members kept following them.
Because you're filming me, I film you.
Il y a deux personnes assez conséquentes qui arrivaient jusqu'à la gare d'Auvers-sur-Oise. Ils ont été retenus par les gendarmes. Et au moment où notre train arrivait, il y a quand même trois de ces personnes qui sont montées dans ce train et qui nous a suivis jusqu'à Persan-Beaumont, où la gendarmerie et à nouveau la sécurité ferroviaire de la SNCF a dû intervenir pour qu'on puisse repartir dans l'autre sens en toute sécurité.
Attention à la marche en descendant du train.
The European Union, Canada and the United States formally listed the MEK as a terrorist organization. But this designation has been lifted in most of these countries since 2012 due to strange and ambiguous support from some members of the US Congress, as well as a great deal of lobbying from the organization itself, which is said to pay some politicians to gain their support. With offices in Washington, Paris, and all over Europe, today, each person or institution which has ever dared to combat this organization has been confronted with a powerful and dangerous group. Our team decides to travel to Iran and meet ex-members of this strange organization. Only the people who have been inside MEK can best tell us the secrets lying behind the political face of this group.
My name is Ebrahim Khodabande. I was born in 1953 in Tehran. I left to Britain in 1971 to study there. And in 1980, I was recruited by the Mujahideen Khalq organization, MKO. And I was working full time with the organization, mainly in Europe, for 23 years. In 2003, I was sent to Syria for a mission and I was arrested there along with my colleague. We were carrying about $2 million cash. We were supposed to take the money from Iraq to Paris. And I was served 2 months prison in Syria and we were extradited to Iran and we were taken to Evin prison. And in Evin prison, I used to find myself still committed to the organization. I committed myself not even to watch the Iranian television, not to read the Iranian papers. And I wouldn't talk to anybody, anything against the organization. I used to think that the only person I can trust in this whole world is Masoud Rajavi. So it took about 1.5 or 2 years that I was totally convinced that I was subject of mind manipulation and brainwashing. And when I was in Evin prison, and gradually I started studying about the mind control, mind manipulation, there was this book written by Mrs. Margaret Thalassinger. My brother sent it to me, and I started reading it. It was called Cults in Our Midst. And I found the techniques used for mind manipulation by destructive mind control cults exactly are the same techniques used inside the organization. When I realized that I was deceived into this organization and everything they told me was wrong, I was sort of mentally paralyzed, and I found everything meaningless and sort of hollow. And it took me some time by the aid of psychiatrists that I managed to come to the normal life.
When the organization was first established, both men and women joined to seek a brighter future. But one day, Masoud Rajavi announced the internal revolution. He came up with a new idea about marital life. It was detrimental to the future of the organization. For him, marital love was an obstacle that could definitely hinder the progress of his plan. Therefore, Rajavi called for a compulsory divorce of all MEK members. From that moment on, Rajavi's cult techniques proliferated, and the oppressions to MEK members multiplied.
Now I'd like to talk a little bit about MKO's base in Paris, in Auxerrois, which is, by some people call it Mariam's garrison. It consists of a few bungalows attached to each other and very tall walls with barbed wires and a lot of cameras around. And it's nothing like the area. I mean, when you go to the area, the maximum height of the walls are half a meter, but the walls of this place are more than 3 meters. And nobody knows what's going on inside there. The atmosphere inside this camp is like any other cult. It's very restricted. People have to have special permission from the higher authorities to leave the camp or to get into it. And some few hundred people live there who have not left the place for many years. There should be a reason, a good reason for leaving the place, like going for medication or for doing tasks. Otherwise, there's no point to leave there. And men and women work totally separated from there, and they are dormitory for girls and for boys, very separated from each other. And people work really all through 24 hour. I mean, they have very little, they are deprived of having rest. And this is a cult technique to put the people under so much psychological and physical pressure that they would not think about their future and their surroundings and all that.
In 1994, the main building where Mariam Rajavi lives was deliberately set on fire. The new building has a garage underneath. The walls have been reinforced with concrete to withstand RPG-7 missiles. Windows are bulletproof. B is the main entrance to the compound, except for Mariam Rajavi. But she has a special door connecting A and B. Masoud's brother has a separate residence. He's very well known by Auxerrois residents. Saleh Rajavi has a licensed gun, which is given to Rajavi's security people located in front of A and B. The Rajavis have always seen security as a way of showing their importance, and it is known that Mariam Rajavi always insists on hiring French security. She pretends they are French police. Our team goes to Auxerrois to check what Ibrahim Khodabanda had told us about the area. We had no problems filming anywhere. We then confirmed that most of the houses in the area have low walls or none at all, and some even have their gates wide open. But when we approach the MEK's house, things become rather different.
Bonjour. Vous êtes journaliste?
Ah non, je ne suis pas journaliste. Non, je suis touriste.
Touriste.
J'ai un ami qui veut faire un film dans le coin et voilà, et je visite. Pourquoi vous m'avez dit que c'est interdit?
C'est interdit ici.
Pourquoi vous c'est interdit ici?
C'est la sécurité.
Mais qu'est-ce qui est la sécurité de quoi? Parce que moi je filme, j'ai besoin de filmer.
Oui, je sais, mais.
Donc.
Vous passez avant ou après, c'est bon, mais.
Pourquoi ici ça va pas? Et pourquoi juste ici?
Juste ici, c'est parce qu'il y a une place de résistance iranienne. C'est là-bas.
place des résistants iraniens. Et alors, qu'est-ce que moi j'en veux? J'en veux aucunement aux Iraniens. Pourquoi je peux pas filmer ici, moi?
Si vous voulez filmer ici, vous devez bien parler avec les gens.
Parler avec qui?
Les fermiers. Pourquoi?
Ben, je suis dans la rue, j'ai pas de pied.
Ça, vous pouvez passer ça.
Oui, je vais passer, mais je comprends pas, j'ai filmé toute la ville.
Vous voulez prendre le poteau pour filmer?
Non, c'était pour filmer, je filme des rushs parce que mon ami aimerait filmer soit ici, soit dans d'autres villes. Mmh. Bonjour.
Vous habitez actuellement où?
Là, actuellement, j'habite où?
Où?
C'est ça? Moi, j'habite où? Moi, j'habite à Paris. Ouais.
À Paris?
Oui. Bonjour. Parce que je comprends pas, en fait, je suis arrivé dans cette rue et je filme toute la ville pour un ami. Et on me dit que c'est interdit, mais je suis dans une commune, je suis dans une rue.
MEK members believe that they can be attacked at any moment. This fear has been instilled in the organization and forms part of cult techniques. Years ago, there were barriers both sides of the street, protecting the compound even more from the outside. These were set up by the French authorities, but were then taken away as they have never believed a serious threat exists. The bollards in front of the house were put there by the MEK organization to prevent car bombs. In June 2003, the French police raided the MEK's base in Auvers-sur-Oise under the orders of the anti-terrorist magistrate Jean-Louis Bruguière, following suspicions that the MEK organization was planning to bomb Iranian citizens in Europe. 158 people inside the compound were arrested. The police found $8,600,000 in cash in the safe in Mariam Rajavi's bedroom.
Nous allons nous efforcer effectivement à travers tout ce que nous pouvons techniquement approcher sur la traçabilité des fonds, que ce soit des fonds sur des comptes ou des espèces, on va essayer effectivement de pouvoir répondre à ces deux questions. D'où vient l'argent et où va-t-il?
Investigators from the Central Financial Crime Bureau in France tried to determine the origin of that amount of cash, but they were unable to do so. Mariam Rajavi was released following several self-immolations by members of the organization that took place in France and the rest of Europe.
From the beginning of establishing international relations of the organization, I was a member of it. I traveled to more than 20 countries, and each country I did political work for the organization. When I was one of the responsible people there, in many cases I met a lot of politicians, tried to convince them to support the organization. And this went on for 23 years, trying to give a very horrible image of the Islamic Republic of Iran and show the MKO as the only alternative. And we were trying to tell the Western people, trying to frighten them from Iran, saying that Iran is after nuclear weapon, they are trying to send terrorists to Europe and all that. And we used to fabricate a lot of lies against Iran to gain our way. And this, all this has been justified to do that because we thought that we have an aim, a goal, and to reach that goal, we are allowed to do whatever possible. So we knew that we are lying even, and we would do that because we thought that this is for the benefit of the people of Iran to do so.
We continue our journey to Shiraz to meet a victim of the MEK's terrorist attacks.
Thank you. آثاری که از منافقین به جا گذاشتن ها. از کودکی از 4 سالگی من اینجوری بودم تا الان که 33 ساله داره از این ماجرا میگذره. تمام زیبایی ما دست دادم، از ناحیه دست، سر، بدن، صورت. آثاری که منافقین به جا گذاشتن، خدا لعنتشون کنه. سوار اتوبوس شده بودیم، عید قدیر بود که میخواستیم بریم شیراز برای حرم شاه چراغ زیارت. سوار اتوبوس که شده بودیم، اتوبوس شلوغ شد، 4 تا خانوم هم سوار شدن، بمب آتش‌زا هم همراهشون بود، پرت کردن وسط اتوبوس. اتوبوس شعله ور شد. اتوبوس شعله ور که شد، ما هم وسط اتوبوس بودیم، همه هجوم آوردن برای درهای اتوبوس که از در اتوبوس بیان بیرون. من خواهرم تو اتوبوس وسط شعله آتیش شعله ور که میشد، ما هم وسط اتوبوس بودیم که خواهرم واقعا از بین رفت و جزغاله شده بود، سوخت. خودم هم که مجروح شدم، سری بردنم برای بیمارستان که از ناحیه سر و دست و صورت و اینا همش آسیب شدید دیدم. چرا کشورهای غربی از منافقین حمایت میکنن؟ چرا بهشون مکان، جا، پول، هرچی بخوان چرا تحت اختیارشون میذارن؟ ما امثال ما جوابگو، امثال ما چه کسی هست که به داد دل ما هم برسه؟
Not far from where this family lives, we meet 2 ex-members of MEK. They are the ones who can best describe why this is not an organization but a cult, since they escaped from it with great difficulty. They got married a month ago and are now trying to catch up with the time they lost. They have spent the most precious years of their lives away from their country, a country that they have rediscovered.
من حامد صرافپور هستم. حدود 35 سال پیش، یعنی توی سن 14 سالگی بود، با مجاهدین آشنا شدم. از اون بعد تا حدود 7 سال با مجاهدین توی خود ایران بودم. از ایران خارج شدم، رفتم پاکستان. از طریق پاکستان به عراق رفتم و بعدم به مدت 22 سال توی عراق با مجاهدین توی قرارگاه‌های مختلف بودم. از این 22 سال حدود 4 سالش اسیر آمریکایی‌ها بودم و بعد هم حدود چند سال بعد از اینکه از دست آمریکایی آزاد شدیم به فرانسه رفتم و نزدیک به 4 سال اونجا بودم. تقریبا به مدت 2 سال عملیات‌هایی که داشتیم توی مناطق مرزی بود، تا زمانی که عملیاتی که بعدها معروف شد به مرساد و ما مجاهدین اونو فروغ جاویدان مینامیدن. بعد از اون دیگه وارد مراحل جدیدی شدیم که جنگ بین ایران و عراق هم به حالت آتش بس در اومده و ما دیگه نمیتونستیم وارد جنگ بشیم با توی مناطق مرزی. به همین دلیل از اون به بعد آموزش‌های جدیدی از مسئول رجبی شروع شد. شکستی که توی عملیات فروغ جاویدان دیدیم اونو انداخت گردن افرادی که مثلا جز ارتش آزادی بخش بودن، برای اینکه این شکست رو از سر خودش بیرون بیاره و به گردن دیگران بندازه. گفت مقصر شما بودید که شکست خوردیم. این شروعی بود برای اینکه سرکوباشو تشدید کنه به مرور، گام به گام. آزارها شروع شد. از اون به بعد دیگه من هیچ اجازه هیچ گونه آزادی فردی، هیچ گونه این که بخوام با بیرون از مجاهدین در تماس باشم، با خانواده در تماس باشم، با در ارتباط تلفنی حتی نامه نگاری و مجموعه از حقوق فردی که هر شخصی لحاظ فردی از اون حقوق برخوردار هست داشته باشم، از اون لحظه خودم احساس کردم که فضای اونجا روز به روز داره برای من تنگتر میشه.
من زهرا میرباقری هستم که 23 سال در سازمان مجاهدین خلق بودم. رده‌ای که من در سازمان مجاهدین خلق داشتم کاندید آزمایشی شورای رهبری بودم و 4 بار طراحی برای فرار داشتم که در بار چهارم موفق شدم از قرارگاه اشرف فرار کنم. الان 2 خواهر و 1 برادر من تحت اسارت سازمان مجاهدین خلق. بهترین خاطره‌ای که من داشتم تو زندگیم خاطره‌ای بودش که من موفق شدم فرار کنم. برای من با خودم قبلا که توی فشارها و شکنجه هایی که از طرف مسعود و مریم رجوی بر من اعمال می شد، وقتی من استراحت می کردم و دردهای زیادی داشتم، به خودم می گفتم که زهرا کاش تو نمیری اینجا، زنده بمونی و موفق بشی فرار کنی و به خبرگزاری ها، به مردم بگی که بر تو چه گذشته. خیلی این برای من یک آرزو بود، دوست داشتم که واقعا زنده بمونم، یک روزی باشه که از ظلم و ستم داخل تشکیلات بیام به خبرنگارا، به مردم، به مردم ایران، به مردم عزیز خودم و حتی به جهان بگم که مریم رجوی دروغ میگه، مریم رجوی منادی آزادی نیست، مریم رجوی منادی بردهداری نوینه. در واقع
back in France, Anvers and Françoise are ready to carry out a new action. They are going back to Auvers-sur-Oise to speak with the new mayor of the town. This time they bring no banners or slogans. They are visiting to make sure the new mayor knows about the presence of a dangerous organization in town. Anvers and Françoise have been recognized. Is she reporting some MEK enemies in town? Does she really need the picture, or is it an intimidation technique?
attends déjà.
Très rapidement.
Oui.
Bonjour, donc en chercher, je suis monsieur Dos Santos.
Dos Santos.
Et madame Philippe. Donc en fait, on est de l'association PIS. Une association donc qui essaye d'informer, en fait, communiquer sur les cultes et les sectes.
Oh là 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 là.
Strange reaction. An organization fighting against cults so surprising? Or maybe she knows who Anvers is talking about?
Venu l'an dernier, en fait, on avait fait...
Ah, c'est vous qui avez fait la manif?
Exactement.
Ah, oh là là, oh là là.
Confirmed, she knows who Anvers is talking about and also who he is.
Je voulais juste savoir ce que vous en pensez, tout
ça. Non, moi, vous ne me prenez pas en photo, s'il vous plaît. Alors là, je vous interdis, c'est hors de question. Hein. D'accord.
On prend pas en photo sans votre autorisation.
Moi, vous savez... Je suis le maire de tous les Auversois. Je suis une liste citoyenne, donc je ne prendrai pas de position.
C'est ce que votre collègue nous a dit,
ouais. Voilà. Et ce genre de manifestation, ça me met très mal à l'aise, si vous voulez savoir ce que j'en pense.
Pourquoi, madame ?
Parce que je trouve que c'est violence, que ça met quelque chose qui prend aux ventes et j'apprécie pas trop. Voilà.
On vient juste avec des pancartes ?
Comment ?
On vient juste avec des pancartes
et informer ? Il n'y a pas de souci. Mais voilà, ça me met mal à l'aise et c'est ce genre. Je n'autorise pas trop dans la ville ce genre de manifestation.
She doesn't authorize demonstrations in town, in France? Where is freedom of expression?
D'accord.
Par rapport à la présence de l'OMPI dans votre ville.
Pourquoi vous voulez que je parle de ça, monsieur Jamil?
Justement, parce qu'en fait, nous,
je viens de vous répondre, monsieur. Je suis le maire de tous les Auvergnats.
Exactement.
Ça vous suffit pas comme réponse? Ce sera la mienne, en tout cas.
Être le maire de tous les Auversois.
Ce sera la mienne. Moi, je suis pour la paix. Je suis le maire de tous les Auversois. D'accord. Je suis engagée sur une liste citoyenne et j'agis pour le bien-être de ma ville.
Et c'est important.
Voilà, c'est tout ce que je vous dirai. Je vous souhaite une bonne journée.
Avez-vous par contre reçu notre courrier
de... Pas du tout.
Non,
pas du tout. À bientôt.
Merci, à bientôt, madame.
Bonjour, comment allez-vous? Ça va bien?
Ça va, ça va.
Ouais, voilà. Non, c'est bien c'est d'avoir la position du maire et c'est intéressant, comme ça on sait à quoi s'en tenir. C'est mieux.
J'ai vu mon avocat.
Comme vous prenez en photo, c'est mieux.
What is she hiding? How can a so-called peaceful organization act so strangely?
شکی نداریم، تردیدی نداریم که از شهردار اوورسوراد گرفته تا شهردار ناحیه یک پاریس تا ناحیه دو پاریس، اینا همشون از مجاهدین کمک مالی دریافت میکنن، به همین دلیله که از اونا حمایت میکنن. من داخل اورسواز نرفته بودم، چون اونجا حتی اون مناطق رو ما میخواستیم تردد کنیم، برای ما خط خیلی خطرناک بود، ما حتی نزدیک هم نمیتونستیم. ما واقعا توی منطقه سرژی و اطرافش رفته بودیم تا ویلپن، تا نزدیک های مثلا چند کیلومتری اورسواز رفته بودیم، ولی بیشتر از اون حتی توی سرژی که میرفتیم اونجا، سرژی پرفکچر که میرفتیم اونجا هم حتی به ما حمله کردن.
How come an organization has such a free hand to do everything they want? They even harass their own members to do whatever they like in the Western countries and get away with it. Some elements in the West believe that they have to support this organization. Might be they could be used against the Iranian regime. And that's a total mistake. They have experienced it many, many times. Supporting terrorism doesn't help anybody. They are experiencing now in France terrorism, but they could prevent this from the beginning when they're supporting them in Syria, when they're supporting them in Iraq. They could have prevented. They give open hand to the terrorists for their short time benefits, but they get long time losses.
من دو سال قبل از اینکه از عراق خارج شم، توسط سازمان ملل به عنوان پناهنده سازمان ملل پذیرفته شدم. بعد از که به پاریس رفتیم، اونجا مدت‌های طولانی، مدت یک سال، یک سال و نیم پرونده ما رو بلوکه کرده بودن و اجازه نمی‌دادن هیچ وکیلی وارد پرونده ما بشه که کمک کنه به ما زودتر اونجا پناهنده بشیم. وکلا و اون از عفو بین‌الملل وکیل به ما دادن که دنبال کنیم پرونده اونو ببینیم چرا اینجور هست. اونا وکیله بعد از اینکه دنبال میکرد مونو مدتی خودشو کنار میکشید، میگفت به لحاظ امنیتی به ما گفتن شما باید خودتون از این پرونده کنار بکشید، واردش نشید. اونا هم میترسیدن، وارد نمیشدن. ما بارها صحبت کردیم با مسئولین امنیت خود فرانسه، به اونا میگفتیم که به چی دلیل مریم رجبی توی پاریس به راحتی تردد میکنه، پناهنده شده، در حالی که فرمانده ما بوده، در حالی که اون رهبر مجاهدین هست. به چه دلیلی اون به این راحتی هر کاری میخواد تو پاریس انجام میده و پناهنده است و مورد حفاظت شماست، در حالی که ما که از اون جدا شدیم. شما اونه که توی لیست تروریستیتونه اینجور بهش رسیدگی میکنید، ولی ما رو پرونده ما رو بلوکه میکنید که جدا شدیم. به ما جواب نمیدادن، میگفتن این مسئله سیاسی هست و ما نمیتونیم جواب بدیم، از ما خارج است، از کادر مسئولیت ما خارج این پرونده، شما باید صبر کنین تا پرونده شما از افقا خارج شه. مراسم ما یه اکسیون داشتیم توی میدان سن میشل پاریس، میخواستیم افشاگری کنیم راجع به اقدامات تروریستی مجاهدین و اون چی که توی مناسباتشون برای سرکوبگرانی که میکردن. منتها مجاهدین از قبل نیرو فرستاده بودن اینجا، حدود 10-20 نفر از اعضایشون رو فرستاده بودن توی میدان سن میشل قبل از اینکه ما شروع کنیم. اونجا به ما حمله کردن که ما اجازه ندادن که ما اکسیون رو برگزار کنیم. اون موقع هنوز پلیس فرانسه نرسیده بود اونجا که از ما حفاظت کنه، اینا به ما حمله کردن. اونجا که میبینید اینا
از مجاهدین چتر داره، با چتر میزنه.
این چماغدارشون هستن که با چوب و چماغ حمله کردن. اولش این خانمه شروع کرد حمله کردن، بعدش هم این افراد دیگه که اینه صورتشون رو پوشونده. که بارها و بارها خود مریم رجبی به دستور مریم رجبی توی خیابونه پاریس ما رو کتک زدن. فیلمای ما توی یوتیوب هست که چجور مجاهدین به اکسیون افشاگرانه ما که مجوز قانونی خود پاریس هم داشت حمله میکرد، اجازه برگزاری همچین میتینگ هم نمیداد. یعنی گروهی که خودشو توی فرانسه دموکراتیک جلوه میده و تحت حمایت دولت، خیلی از مسئولین فرانسه، خیلی از شهرداران فرانسه، خیلی از سناتورهای فرانسه هست، تحت حمایت اونها هست و خودش دموکراتیک جلوه میده، تحمل کوچکترین انتقادی توی خود پاریس به نیروهای منتقد و مخالف خودش نمیده. در مجموع هیچ احساس امنیت نداشتیم، یعنی هر زمان میمدیم بیرون باید مراقب بودیم که مبادا مجاهدین خود مریم رجوی نیروهاشو فرستاده باشه دنبال ما که ما رو شکار کنن توی خیابون، چون اونا تهدید کرده بودن. سال 1374 بود خود مسعود رجوی توی یکی از نشستایی که بعداً اسم اون نشست، نشست حوز بود، تو نشست اعلام کرد، گفت که من از همینجا به شما میگم، ما اونجا توی نشست، من خودم توی نشست بودم، گفت که من به شما اعلام میکنم، از شما میخوام که اگه شکست خوردیم تمام کسانی که از مجاهدین جدا شدن و افشاگری کردن و توی خیابونه پاریس، توی خیابونه اروپا بکشید، سلاح رو من به شما میدم، پول رو به شما میدم، کشتنش با شما، سلاح و پول از من، کشتنش با شما. یعنی از سال 1374 تقریبا 20 سال پیش اون دستور ترور مخالفین خودشو، اعضای جدا خودشو تو اروپا صادر کرده بود. اینو پس چیز مخفی الان نیست، طبیعیه که ما وقتی که توی خیابون اروپا میگشتیم هر لحظه انتظار داشتیم که مجاهدین ما حمله کنن و ما رو ترور کنن.
Our team wanted to know why. If Western authorities know about the terrorist past of this organization, why do many politicians agree to attend their rally in Villepinte every June, where thousands of people gather to support Mariam Rajavi and the MEK organization? So we came to the meeting this year. And to our surprise, we found hundreds of buses with thousands of people from all over Europe and the Middle East. Afghans, Syrians, Poles, Ukrainians, Czechs, Germans. However, the Iranians attending the meeting were the minority.
You came all over here just for this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, just for that conversation here.
But they invited you?
Yes, of course.
Nice, it's good.
Like everybody here. Yeah.
Okay. So have you been inside?
Of course.
And? You don't understand?
No, nothing.
Okay. Okay.
Too much speaking, and I want to sleep. And we come outside, drink, eat, relax.
But you have to spend the whole day here.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, but tomorrow no.
No, tomorrow we go to Paris. Just make photos and stuff like that.
When did you arrive?
Today morning at 11.
And you leave?
Tomorrow.
By bus?
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you come from?
From Prague.
And you came all over here just for the meeting?
Yes, and to Paris too.
But they paid for the whole trip, right?
No, we have to pay something but a small amount of money.
Okay. And were you inside the meeting?
Yes, like for 3 hours.
And what do you think or what did you understand?
I think it's a strategy to bring us here because it's Paris and they made it very cheap so they can have their rally, but we are not allowed to go out to the buses or to the hotel because otherwise they won't give us the key to enter to the hotel. So it's the only way to keep us here, and not even here, we are in the grass sitting because they are just trying to support this woman that is outside of Iran and won't change anything because she doesn't have enough support. So we are the only ones here, but we are forced to stay.
How do you feel after having seen what's inside?
I feel really disappointed because I came here because there was some organization who proposed this trip to Paris in order to know about this conference, which was, I was told it was about human rights of these Iranese people. And so I came kind of excited about this because I studied journalism, for me it's kind of interesting. But when I came here, the first that I saw was the bad organization, which meant something to me, like something really strange, because if you come to some event like this, they're supposed to be more organized and take care about this kind of stuff. So we were waiting like 2 hours outside, waiting to go inside. Then once we were inside, it seems to be like we were in some kind of, I don't know, performance or something like this, because
political rally.
Exactly, like political rally. And they didn't talk about the topics that I was told, but she was like they were talking about more like to support these ideas they had, I don't know. And it seemed to be like they didn't care about people around because people were doing like whatever, but not putting attention. So I think I feel like they, like I was lied.
How many people are here today? 100,000? 110,000? How often have you come here?
So the real question is not how many people are here today, but how many Iranians are here, and also how many people have not been brought here with a trip to Paris as bait to attend this meeting. Let us explain how the people are distributed inside the building where this rally is taking place. All the tourists occupy 90% of the space. In each seat, they can find t-shirts, flags, and all sorts of gadgets to look like good supporters in front of the cameras. But closer to the stage, we have a VIP zone where all the Iranians are meant to be sitting. One would think that at such a huge meeting, this zone would be packed. But here is a still taken from the MEK's official video where we can see a lot of empty seats. And not only that, you have to have a bracelet to get in. We obviously had not been invited as VIPs, but we found a young lady from the MEK organization distributing those bracelets for the VIP zone in a kind of hidden place. So there we go, inside the VIP zone, to find some Iranians, the only supporters they got, MEK members, and plenty of empty seats.
A country a country and an Ayatollah who dedicates himself to the destruction of one of our strongest allies, the state of Israel, who almost every week says, destruction to the state of Israel. We unequivocally support a non-nuclear Iran. Now, what does a non-nuclear Iran mean? It doesn't mean 2 months away from being able to have a nuclear missile. It doesn't mean 1 year away from having a nuclear missile. It doesn't mean an Iran that will become a nuclear power in 10 years.
The first time the organization had revealed some facts about Iran's nuclear activities. This information was given to the organization by the Israeli intelligence. And since they didn't want to reveal it themselves, they wanted some Iranians to do that. They went to the monarchists and Reza Pahlavi to do it. They didn't accept. They said they would not do against the interest of their country. But the MKO accepted to do that. And this was the start of Iranian nuclear crisis. And after that, MKO had no role in it. But they wanted to keep their role because they claimed that they got this information from their sources inside Iran. So each time they used to fabricate some lies, give it out as Iranians' nuclear activities, which was not true. And many times it was proven that it was not true. They wanted to be part of this West's manufacture of crisis against Iran.
While MEK's political rally is taking place in Villepinte, former MEK members are demonstrating against the MEK and the Rajavis in the very center of Paris.
Rajavi, terrorists! Terrorists, Rajavi!
Rajavi, terrorists, terrorists, Rajavi! Rajavi, Daesh, Daesh, Rajavi!
Rajavi, Daesh, Daesh, Rajavi!
Rajavi is a murderer! Down with Rajavi!
I'm afraid of something can happen to me or to my family. And it's true that when you have someone that is ready to threat you in front of police, in front of security guard, in front of any kind of security of authority, official authority, I'm a little bit afraid. Yes, I'm a little bit afraid.
Moi, ces gens-là, ce sont pas des gens normaux, en fait. Ce qu'ils font, c'est pas normal. C'est ce qu'ils ont eu à faire dans le temps, c'est pas normal. Aujourd'hui, ils sont plus ou moins entre guillemets pacifistes. Enfin, moi, je pense que c'est l'image qu'ils veulent montrer d'eux au monde. Et pour moi, ces gens-là, on ne sait pas de quoi ils sont capables encore aujourd'hui.
It's true that they succeeded in a kind of way. They succeeded to stop us by their threat, by their violence, because if I can ask you something, what do you do in front of someone ready to burn himself? They are very dangerous. I think we can continue our action, and we will continue our action, because freedom has to win. But for now, we decided to continue in another way, by communication. Communication is the key.
Many secrets remain in Auvers-sur-Oise that our team has not been able to unearth. But one thing we know is that in the very heart of Europe, a group of young French activists have been threatened by a so-called peaceful organization. They are afraid of carrying on with their plan of combating cults. In Auvers-sur-Oise, there are still many residents unaware of the origins of the terrorist group living in their town, right beside them.